From Radio Sausalito in beautiful Sausalito, California, I'm Mitchell Field, and you are on the field trip. Welcome to The Field Trip, a few minutes of conversation each week with some of the most interesting people in the Bay Area and Marin County. I talk to artists and writers, actors, directors, musicians, some of the people who make the Bay Area a fun and a fabulous place to live. So let's get right to it. This week I'm presenting part two of my interview with Susie Damilano, the co-founder of the San Francisco Playhouse. Well, you know, you talked earlier about Nina Ball, and Nina did do your sort of Thunderdome set for the new show, right?
Yeah, she did.
It's
quite
something.
She laid down the gauntlet. Yeah, she did quite an amazing job. When she saw our new space, she said, well, it looks to me like we're going to have to make a big statement here. Why move if you can't go big?
Yeah, and she did. And the Thunderdome is not an underestimation of that set, is it?
Oh, no. A lot of people are calling it Thunderdome. And what it's supposed to look like is the dome of a Capitol building. And it really does. And you can, as the audience, you decide, is the Capitol being built or is it being deconstructed? And that's what I love about her set. And it's so versatile. And the best thing about it, I don't know if you know this, but Nina Ball and John Tracy, who directed Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson, they are married as well. Yeah, so they, just like Bill and I, the great thing is put both of them on a show together and it's going to be amazing.
All in the family.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, now, there are some terrific costumes in the show by Abra Berman, and incidentally, who was wearing a stunning gown the other night for the opening.
Yeah, she and Tatiana Genzer both designed the costumes, and you may have seen both of them. They're walking around looking stunning.
They were. I've worked with Abra over at Marin Shakespeare before. She's wonderful.
Oh, yes, she is. She's so creative.
Yeah, she did a great job for you. Well, now, a few seasons ago, you staged a play called The Scene, which Amy Glazer, who's one of your company associates, directed, and that was subsequently made into a movie. That must have been a thrill for you all.
Oh, yeah, that was wonderful. Amy turned it into a film called Seducing Charlie Barker, and she took it to the Cannes Film Festival, and it played throughout the country, and she loves taking plays and converting them into films, and she's looking for her next project, and it's exciting, especially when she picks the projects based on plays that she's directed with us.
Well, it was a terrific play. I loved the way you staged it at the old location.
Yeah, that's Teresa Rebeck wrote that. She really gets to the heart and core of who we are in her plays.
Yeah, and the film turned out really nicely, too. I saw it, and I really liked it.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that great when you can see it convert like that? And it's nice that a couple of the actors got to go move forward into the film, too.
Well, I guess, you know, we've got to talk about the new production of Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, the great thing about it is it's very timely, especially with it being election season right now. And what the show does is it looks at our seventh president and features him as a rock star, which in his own right he was. He was the only president that wasn't part of the aristocracy in Washington, and he came from the point of view that the American people were not being represented in Washington. So he invented populism and the Democratic Party. And what the play does is it doesn't sentimentalize what he did, because a lot of what he did we look at today and say, wow, that wasn't great. I mean, he took the country from the Indians. He defeated the Spanish and French. He doubled the size of our nation. But he didn't do it in an easy manner. He did it. There was a lot of blood involved with it, too. And that's where the title comes from, Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson. But it's also incredibly funny and very tongue-in-cheek.
It sure is.
And it stars a local celebrity that a lot of people may have heard of, Ashkan Davaron, who became famous on YouTube a couple years ago when he recorded a music video called Don't Stop Believing for the San Francisco Giants when they were going into the playoffs. So he's a rock star in his own right.
Yeah, he's absolutely wonderful in the lead role. You have a wonderful cast. An old pal of mine, Bill Elsman, does a wonderful job. I didn't know Bill played drums.
Oh, he's an amazing drum player.
He is.
He's so fun to watch back there. And, you know, being the drums, he's setting the rhythm for the whole thing. And then he steps out of it and plays multiple characters and then just gets right back over to the drums. He's incredible. It's an incredible cast. Almost all of them play instruments. Elbe is phenomenal on the cello. I don't think I've ever seen a cello look so sexy.
She's fabulous. She just roars and rips around the stage with that cello.
Yeah, I think more people will take up playing the cello after they see her doing hers.
I think that's right. Everybody was talking about it the other night.
Yeah, if the cello companies had an advertisement, it would be her playing.
Yeah, if anybody can make them hip, it's her.
Exactly.
You know, your company's mission statement reads, to share stories that uplift our spirits, deepen self-awareness, and nurture compassionate community. That's a pretty good mission. How'd you come up with that?
It's always been our mission in essence. We want to be a company where everyone feels like they are part of the family and that when you come and see a play, you'll be moved by it. We really want people to feel empathetic towards characters that they might not otherwise care about and really get involved in the stories. And that's what we mean by uplifting and compassionate community. We just really think that that's the purpose of theater. We look at theater as our spiritual home, and by sharing that, the more people we can share that with, the more lives we can impact in a way that we can change the world one play at a time.
Well, it certainly showed the other night. I mean, you had the theater community there all right behind you.
Yeah, it was so wonderful. There were other theater leaders there. There were actors, designers. There were hundreds of supporters. Just to walk around that room and just feel the joy made us certain that what we're doing is the right thing to be doing and the next step for San Francisco Playhouse.
I think you're right. Well, I would say that Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson is probably not a play that you would bring little children to. Would you agree with that?
Well, I agree with it only if you are a parent that worries about your children hearing curse words. They use the F word quite a lot. On the other hand, the words used are words that are used in everyday speech. Your kids are going to hear them. And I think, if anything, it's a really fun and raucous history lesson. I mean, there's an 11-year-old kid in the play who's having the time of his life. And my feeling towards bringing kids to theater is bring them, because theater is a reflection of our world and our lives. And the sooner the kids get out there and get to see that. I mean, they're playing video games where they're murdering people. Why not bring them to something where they're going to learn and they're going to be with other people and watch grown-ups have artistic expression that they can grow up and share in that? So, you know, it's to the parents to decide, but I certainly don't discourage it.
Fair enough. I'll go with that. Now, I hate to make comparisons, but if anybody has seen the show American Idiot, it does bear some resemblance in the sense that it's a rock musical, right?
Yes. Yep. It bears a resemblance in that it's a rock musical. I have heard people compare the two, saying that Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson does not attempt in any way to be PC or get your sympathies. It's just direct and lays it all out there. So that would be the primary difference.
Yep, I agree with that too. It's a pretty raucous, crazy show.
It is. But we're a raucous, crazy country. You know, it took people like that to create what we have today. It wasn't always nice.
The San Francisco Playhouse's production of Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson, directed by the Bay Area wunderkind John Tracy, continues through November 24th. It's a riot, literally, I mean that. For more information, go to sfplayhouse.org. And Susie D'Amelano, continued success to you, sweetheart, and the San Francisco Playhouse, and thanks for taking us on a field trip today.
Thank you so much, and hope to see all of your listeners visiting us at the San Francisco Playhouse.
Absolutely. Don't miss this show. That's Susie D'Amelano, everyone. Well, thanks for joining me today on The Field Trip. I welcome your views and comments on the show, as well as your suggestions for future guests. My email is mitchellfield@radiosausalito.org. The theme music you hear behind me is the tune Superjet, with the fabulous Marin Sax man Noel Jukes up front. It's from the recording The Noel Jukes Quartet, featuring Matt Clark. Please remember that The Field Trip can be heard Wednesdays at the top of every hour at 1610 on your AM radio dial in Southern Marin, countywide on Wednesdays at noon on Comcast Cable Channel 26, on your computer at radiosausalito.org anytime, or 24 hours a day as a free podcast from the iTunes Store. If you liked today's show, please tell your friends, and if you didn't, well, please tell your enemies. So till next time, this is Mitchell Field saying goodbye, good luck, and see you next week.